Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us. It is hour number three as we continue with Wake Up Call. What you saw last night in Fenway Park, if you did indeed watch the American League wildcard game, is a continuation of the Red Sox turning the narrative in their rivalry against the Yankees. Something that for many, many, many decades was dominated by New York. So much so that it was just getting into Boston's fans' heads. But last night was once again the Red Sox in the postseason when meeting up against the Yankees, simply winning games. And they've been doing it since 2004 when they came back from a 3-0 deficit to win that ALCS, went on to win the World Series. But it has been a level of success for the Red Sox where they've taken a World Series in 04, in 07, in 13, and 18. Four compared to the Yankees, one in that time slot, where the Yankees won in 2009, beating the Philadelphia Phillies. It is a complete change of what has people have been expecting of the Red Sox forever and ever and ever. But the reality of it is this one in particular, no matter what happens going forward, should be at the forefront of Red Sox in history. It is a game, a one-shot, winner-take-all match, where the winner just simply goes to play the Tampa Bay Rays in a five-game series. The prize isn't really all that awesome other than you get to advance. The Rays are a really good baseball team. But this is different. It's much different. Because for so long, Red Sox fans have been wondering when the other shoe would drop. Now there's a generation that doesn't think it ever drops. That doesn't think that it ever fail. That when push comes to shove, the Yankees pose no threat whatsoever. No matter if they have Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton or Gerrit Cole, for that matter, who's making over $30 million a year. It was another example of how sometimes these sports narratives, when they change, they can change dramatically and have so. They don't even have to look very far in their own region to see that happen to another franchise that had been buried in mediocrity and failed Super Bowls, losing to one of the greatest teams of all time in 1986, and losing in 85, I should say, and losing to a young Brett Favre who was streaking down the field in a helmet. That franchise turned into be one of the greatest of all time. It can happen overnight.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. We'll talk Chicago Bears coming up in at 40 past the hour. What's going on there with Matt Nagy, Justin Fields, etc., etc., as we continue along. So the Thursday night game is the Seahawks and the Rams. Wait, this is a good opportunity to get acquainted with the NFC West lately. Very good. I feel like I've been getting a lot of their games lately on TV. A lot of the good, like the matchups, the things, get to see them. So,
well, they are the hottest division in football.
They are the hottest division in football.
Although the AFC West sports more 3-1 teams.
I know, right? That's gonna be interesting. This game against Buffalo for Kansas City is gonna be great.
Yeah,
I think this is where you go with the Chiefs and you say, "All right, Chiefs, Gary, let's stop fooling around with these losses." See what you got.
Because I don't know if you can go 2-3.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, actually, that's a good point. I mean, the AFC West is playing a lot of great teams this weekend,
really,
too.
Really, too. Absolutely.
Chargers, Browns, that should be good.
Denver Steelers. Oh, can't wait. I want to talk about Aaron Judge. I mean, not Aaron Judge. I'm Aaron Boone right now. And whether or not he should be fired for what happened to the Yankees in this one-game playoff last night. And I know managers, we talk about this a lot in sports, different sports, in the end, you're responsible, right? I mean, the players play and the players have to produce, but in the end, you're responsible. Gerrit Cole threw those pitches, right? Gerrit Cole was the one that struggled. Aaron Boone is the one that started him, but who was he going to start, right? So he made the right decision and Gerrit Cole let him down. I think overall, though, one of the reasons that I think Aaron Boone is going to be let go is I think there's a bitterness here that he's just not going to be able to escape. You know, the way the Yankees are constructed to, you know, they went out during the trade deadline and got Joey Gallo that didn't work out, Anthony Rizzo. I mean, they got some bats. They wanted players to this is a World Series opportunity here. Like, look, we talk about, hey, all right, it's a different level. I get it because the LA Angels can't get Mike Trout into the postseason. But the Yankees aren't doing Aaron Judge any favors by not getting into the World Series with the team that he has. It's going to be looked back at as a wasted time if Aaron Judge never goes to a World Series. Right? I mean, he's got this incredible talent around him. An incredible team. And you better figure out how to get that team into the World Series. And I think the way the American League has got these two teams within its own division that are the exact opposite of the way they do business. And I think if you're a Yankee fan and you're looking down at St. Petersburg and you're thinking to yourself, none of this makes sense to me, right? Like how they're successful. How is Tampa Bay winning this division? How are they winning going away? How are they winning going away when Blake Snell was their best pitcher and he's off to San Diego? David Price was once there and he's now, he left, right? And Chris Archer left and came back. And Evan Longoria was the face of the franchise, but he was allowed to leave too. Like in the end, that's what the Rays do. And they keep producing a team that is winning that division. And not only winning, they're winning it going away. They're the class of a division that's got this Yankee juggernaut team, a Red Sox team that while rebuilding still has really good players on it, and an up-and-coming Toronto team with some mashers with Bo Bichette on it and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Right, this is a dangerous division that is being won by a team that knows how to numbers crunch. Right? It's like, you know, you can have an advertisement for Yankees baseball. Come out to see the New York Yankees slug it out of the Bronx and then show player after player after player bombing shots, a little John Sterling underneath giving you the call, fans going crazy. You run the same ad in Tampa, it's like analytic fever, catch it. See our general managers crunch the numbers to bring you players you've never heard of stealing second. Right? Like that's the way they're winning games. It's really incredible. It's incredible how they're putting that together. So imagine if you're in the front office of the Yankees and you're afraid to not do what you've been doing for decade after decade after decade, right? Which is when there's a player and he's up for a big money contract, their agent calls us and we give him that big money contract. And then he comes here. Right, they're not calling Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Oakland, places like that. They're coming here. And we are really competing with the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Mets, anybody else that's got big money that can go and do this too. And the Rays have said, no, there's another way to do this. And let's put our resources in other things that allow us to bring up from the minors a guy like Wander Franco, who is electric. Name me the last Yankee electric farm system player that has, you know, that had people buzzing out on his own team. Maybe Gio Urshela, fine, but not really.
I think you got to go back to
really not really, not really, right?
You got to go back to their fearsome four from the late
right?
90s.
And I think that's one of the reasons, again, I keep saying this, the 96 team was a loved team, a very yeah. loved team. Because it did have, of course, it had Jimmy Key, a guy they got, you know, from another place. They had David Cone. They resurrected Kenny Rogers, in his career. They had Wade Boggs, a veteran Wade Boggs who came over from the Red Sox. They had players that were acquired. But the real crux of that team was guys that came up in the Yankee system that really were shining, right? That's one of the pluses of that 96 team. You know, later down the road, right, Tino Martinez comes in. Roger Clemens comes in. Right?
Of course,
those,
yeah.
Boys, right? A-Rod. They can't help. Yeah, A-Rod. They can't help themselves. Right? That's just the way it's going to be.
They always got to have the highest payroll.
Right, because their fan base tells them to.
Yeah.
It's like.
Reminds them every second. 27.
I remember this story. I think Theo Epstein had talked about it, or somebody had said something. When A-Rod was up for being traded out of Texas, right? When they were like, we got to get rid of this contract. The Red Sox were up for it. And the Yankees, at the time, didn't know if they should play in the same water because they had Aaron Boone. And they liked Aaron Boone. But Aaron Boone was playing pickup basketball and hurt himself. And the Yankees went, thanks. Now we're going to go after A-Rod. Right? Like, it was that quick. It was like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, we have to compete against Boston. Because we can't look at our fan base in the eye and tell them we did the best we could if the Red Sox landed them. Well, you can, forget it. But, you know, a team like Tampa Bay goes, no, we're not playing in that. That's not what we do. But we can do this. We can do things in other ways. We can do things in other ways. And I think it's been working. You can't argue against it. It's been working. You know, it's funny. I remember when the Rays went to the World Series in like 2009 and they were playing good baseball and they'd make the playoffs. And I always thought it was Joe Maddon. And now he's gone. And now it's Kevin Cash. And he's there. The team is just cooking through. But yeah, Oakland does this all the time. Oakland will rise up with a team players you've never heard of and whatnot. But the Rays, when the A's do it, they kind of sneak in through the back door, wild card team. The Rays are winning a very tough division going away with teams that just have a spending problem. They can't help but buy every player that's out there. Like, it's insane to me for the Yankees. It must drive the Yankees crazy to write a check every pay period to Gerrit Cole and go, the one thing we wanted him to do, he couldn't last two innings. The one thing we needed him to do, beat the Red Sox at Fenway Park in a one-game playoff. Three runs, two innings, bye. Here's your $32 million for the season. Thanks for nothing. I mean, that must drive them crazy. And yet, you know, the Rays don't have this issue. Now, so I think, going back to the original point, I think there has to be some level of fallout for this. And it's going to fall on Aaron Boone, right or wrong. It doesn't really matter. I mean, did Aaron Boone do anything wrong this season? I don't know. I don't think so. It's just that he's the guy.
No, he didn't do anything wrong. It's just that he didn't accomplish the goal.
Yeah.
And it's not that, you know, this was his first time. I think if this was his first year, they would say, well, you know, you came close. We'll give you another shot.
Right.
He's been with the club now, what, for 3 years? They keep coming up short.
If I'm not mistaken, and I'll have to look this up. I may look this up during the break. I think Aaron Boone doesn't have to be fired. I think they had a contract with him where they exercised an option in 2021 for this season. And I think they just don't renew it. So I don't know if he gets fired. I think that's his current status, is that the Yankees, if the Yankees want to bring him back, they have to give him a contract. Now, he won't sign a one-year contract. So the Yankees will have to commit some time and money. Doesn't mean they won't keep him, but they'll have to pay out a contract. So him and his agent will work out a new deal. And that deal, if this is true, I have to look it up. I do apologize for not knowing that.
No. You're absolutely right.
Am I right?
Because he told reporters, obviously, my contract is up. I haven't had any conversations about that with anyone.
Okay, so
the Yankees haven't even came to the table with him, you know, say like in August when the Yankees were playing well or not playing well or something.
Yeah.
They didn't even say then. It was like, I don't know, like, we'll wait till the end of the season.
And that's a different scenario than if he was in the middle of, let's say, a five-year deal and the Yankees go, look, we're going to cut you a check, but please leave. Thanks for everything.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, for the Yankees to want to keep him around, they now have to make a new commitment to him.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's not a one-year deal.
It's not going to be a one-year deal. Like, he's not going to go, can I have a job, please? I'll do anything. I'll even sweep up afterwards. No, he's going to go, like, if you're going to commit to me, then I want at least five or, you know.
Yeah, well, this is the same thing.
3 to 5 year deal.
I didn't realize this, but the same thing they did with Joe Girardi.
Yeah, that's right.
They just didn't renew his contract
they
either.
They just said, that's it.
That's it. You're done.
So I, with that in mind, I don't think he's coming back. I don't think the Yankees can honestly make a commitment to him.
God, is this something that George Steinbrenner would stand for?
I know,
like, what,
right?
We just keep guys around, and when they're contracted, we don't renew it?
We don't get this.
What's the fun in that? I don't get to hire and fire Billy Martin like 600 times.
How much fun was that? Back in the day.
Made for one of the best press conference moments.
Oh,
you
no.
know, it's like, you can't fire me. You haven't even hired me yet.
You haven't even hired me yet. That was great. Those two. Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness. Yeah, but you know what? When Billy Martin died, he cried.
Yeah.
He wept. He was very, very, very upset about it. You know, it's like you can love somebody but be angry at them. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think those two had a good relationship.
I do too.
Just couldn't work together.
Exactly. All right, it's Wake Up Call. Again, we'll have the Chicago Bears. We'll talk about the Chicago Bears and the situation going on there as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. We're going to talk Chicago Bears coming up in 10 minutes. Dion Miller is going to join us from ABC 7. We're going to talk to her about the Bears and the fact that Matt Nagy is saying Andy Dalton will be the starter, which I don't understand. So we're going to get her on to help us with that. This weekend, I don't know if you know this, but it's the Red River Shootout Rivalry Showdown, whatever they're calling it today.
Hootenanny.
Hootenanny, that's a good one.
Red River Hootenanny.
Red River Hootenanny between Texas and Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. Yay!
They played against each other before, right?
I like that game. I like that game a lot. I like that game because don't we get correct me if I'm wrong, because we just had COVID, so it might have been a while. Don't we get the Texas State Fair, too?
Yep.
And then we get like, hey, we took a Twinkie and wrapped it in a Hershey bar and dumped it in a fryer later. Here you go. Enjoy.
Yeah, I'm all about fried foods. The only one I can't get behind, though, is fried butter.
Now, what is fried butter? I know it sounds basic, but do they literally just take a chunk of butter and
butter,
and then you eat it like a fried mozzarella? Like you eat it and it's just butter inside?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. That looks like, I mean, that to me is like, you know, you have that. It's because you know that you're either moments away from death or on your way to see a cardiologist.
I don't care what all you keto people tell me. I don't think eating fried butter would be good for me.
No, not at all. But, you know, some of those other ones. Mm.
Have you ever had fried Oreos?
Yes, I have.
They're pretty good, man.
They are.
They are pretty good.
There's no denying that. I don't know what it is. I thought it was going to be gross. But,
you know, I remember the first time I ordered fried Oreos. They gave me 3 in a chocolate sauce. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, it kind of has that feeling like there's a voice in your head that goes, you can't do this. Like, you can't do this. Be responsible. That is a cookie battered and put in oil. You can't eat that.
No.
Right? And then the other side of your brain is like, Valhalla, today's a good day to die. Woof, woof, woof.
Well, let's call it what it is. It's your Urban Meyer moment.
That's right. That's
you know true. You shouldn't do it.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, that Oreo is grinding next to you, and you're like, I got to go for it, man.
And I just like the people trying to up each other at the trying to find things I can batter up and throw in that fryer.
Oh, there's so many things.
So many things. I remember 20-something years ago, people made a big deal about deep-fried Twinkies. That's amateur hour now. Now, forget that. Deep-fried Twinkies? Your child can learn to do that at the good old county fair. We're deep-frying like roadkill now. Are you kidding me? We're finding raccoons on the side of the road.
Let's see. This is this year.
All right. Give it to me.
All right. Here's some of the fried foods that you can grab this year, right? bacon jam corn bombs.
How great is that? I don't even know what that is.
No, I know. I think it's, yeah, it looks like, is it little tiny kernels of corn? Oh, no, it's
got bacon, it's got jam, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corn, crispy corn hush puppies. Mm. As warm bacon jam is ladled over crispy corn hush puppies, then complemented with a drizzle of ranch dressing and topped with homemade candied jalapenos.
Why wouldn't we do that? Of course we would.
You can get a bag of egg rolls. That's fried.
All right.
You get a bucket of fries, chicken on a stick. The Dallas Hot Bird Dog. It's a smoked turkey frank.
I'm assuming that's great.
Yeah, it's a smoked turkey frank dunked in a fiery seasoned batter and deep fried, then smothered with rich and creamy mac and cheese.
Can't help themselves, man. People can't help themselves.
How about this one? How about deep fried pancakes?
Okay, that's cool. I don't know if that's cool, but it sounds very Texas fare, fry-a-later fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put that up there with this other one, deep fried peach cobbler soul rolls.
Why not?
You know, we got a deep fried shrimp etouffee.
That sounds good.
About deep fried toffee.
Now that sounds great. I love toffee. I like toffee.
Try to see other deep fries. A lobster corn dog. Wow.
Wow.
Now we're talking.
Gracious. Now we are talking. They're not messing around.
And obviously, you know, in Texas, they have the realest cheesesteak.
The realest cheesesteak?
Realest, yeah.
What is that?
It's not your average cheesesteak. The cheesesteak combines melty three cheese, savory steak, chicken, sautéed onions and bell peppers, and banana peppers on top of a French hoagie bun.
Wow.
This one's not deep fried, though. Okay. Although you probably could ask for it to be deep fried, and they would do it for you.
I'm going to make a prediction on the game. First of all, I need to go. I need to go to the. I've got like bucket list items, and I think that's.
Yeah, well, I think that's where the corn dog originated, too.
Was the Texas State Fair?
Yeah.
Even better. I'm all in. So here's my thing. I think Texas is going to win this game.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and Oklahoma's won the last three, and I think five of the last six or something like that. I think Texas is going to pull off an upset. Oklahoma has been playing too close to the vest this season. They've been in these games where they're just squeaking by West Virginia, squeaking by Nebraska, squeaking by Kansas State. I think they're ready to be had. And I think this is the game where Texas has got some momentum now. Yes, losing to Arkansas stunk, but they're playing better. They made the right switch at quarterback with Casey Thompson. Bijan Robinson is great. I think they are going to put a real good game plan together, and I think they're going to beat Oklahoma. So save this tape for Monday. When I come back and say, see, I told all of you
this
would happen. They're going to get to Spencer Rattler. So, and by the way, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here. I mean, Texas is ranked. They're a pretty good football team. One college game I kind of want to urge people to watch if you're not doing anything Thursday except watching, if you're just kind of watching baseball and maybe the Rams-Seahawks, flip it over every now and then. I'm not asking to watch the whole thing. Flip it over every now and then to Arkansas State, Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina is ranked 15th in the nation right now. They're 5-0. They had a great season last year. They're a Sun Belt team. Are they making the playoff? No, but they're a very good football team. So if you're looking for that undefeated Cincinnati kind of thing, watch them.
If this was a 12-team playoff,
yes,
we would be arguing for their inclusion, right?
I would say so, yeah. The problem comes with, real quick, the biggest problem with college football is we don't do the postseason like everybody else. Like, you know, the Red Sox getting into the playoffs, it doesn't matter that they couldn't beat Team A, Team B, Team C. There was a criteria, they met it, they're in. College football, it's like, well, even if Coastal Carolina or Cincinnati went unbeaten, could they beat a two-loss, name your really good football team with two losses? That's one of the problems with college football. But I think you're right, I think they would. All right, Dion Miller will join us next, ABC 7 in Chicago on the Bears. What exactly is Matt Nagy thinking? Coming up next on Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We are hooking up with Dion Miller, ABC7 in Chicago. Like, during the week, we kind of chat about teams we kind of want to dive into after their performances on Sunday. You know, I talked about, you know, the Steelers are kind of in a mess right now. Let's do Pittsburgh. And then a team that we really wanted to get to last week, we were really trying to hone in on somebody, was Chicago because of the Bears. And that game, the first start for Justin Fields, it was so disastrous. And then this one where Bill Lazor was calling plays and Fields looked better in a win against the Lions, but Andy Dalton apparently is still the starter when healthy, according to Matt Nagy. Dion Miller joins us, ABC7 in Chicago, on a Progressive guest line to help explain that and a little bit more out of the Windy City. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Hi, how are you, Dion? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. I wish I could explain it.
Yeah.
I'm as confused as everybody. I mean, it makes no sense. And the last couple of weeks have been so bizarre in that press room. I mean, the things that have been coming out of Matt Nagy's mouth, you look around sometimes and you're like, what is happening? What am I hearing right now? Like, it has been incredibly bizarre and has happened so fast. When he got here, Matt Nagy, he was transparent. It seemed that way to us anyway. And now it just feels like we jokingly call it word salad. He's just talking and talking and talking. And at one point the other day, listening to that post-game press conference, in my head, I'm going, stop talking. Like, just stop. You're making it worse. And he's given zero clarity. And this insistence on Andy Dalton is still the starter after what we saw from Justin Fields. Yes, I know it was the Detroit Lions, but you obviously saw that he can do things Andy Dalton cannot. And it just would make way more sense, obviously, to just say, this is what we're doing moving forward. And they are not going to do that yet. And I'm not sure why.
Yeah. What is the feeling, though, of people? Why? What is the strategic element for Matt Nagy to do this, to say things like this about Andy Dalton being the starter when healthy? What does he get by doing this? What is he trying to protect?
They have some sort of loyalty to Dalton that the rest of us do not have. So when they signed him, they must have given him that sort of assurance and before they knew that they could sign Justin Fields. And this is the other thing that has had me scratching my head for the last couple of years when it comes to the quarterback, because I feel like they make these decisions so fast because they panic. I mean, remember when they signed Andy Dalton, the rumor was that the Bears were in the mix for Russell Wilson. Like,
yeah.
What a difference that made, right? Like, that was such a bizarre couple of weeks. And we were like, oh my gosh, Russell Wilson. No, just kidding, Andy Dalton. And then they didn't know that they were going to be able to get Justin Fields, but they knew, even where they were positioned at 20 before they moved up in the draft, that getting a quarterback was a possibility. And I feel like they raced ahead. They made promises to Andy Dalton that now they regret, that they are maintaining because of the relationship they have with him. I'm still not sure why they're insisting on it. And then in the same breath, claiming that Dalton is such a pro and he knows, and he even said when he got here, he knew that he was just kind of this Band-Aid until Fields was ready. Like, he understood that. So he's still going to get paid. Like, they guaranteed him that money, whether he's starting or not. And I'm not sure what is gained by this insistence that when healthy, he's going to be the starter, unless it just gives them an out if they see that Fields is up against something he can't handle. But from what we have seen, he's ready. He's ready for that.
Take us back a couple of weeks ago, that first start for Fields that was so disastrous. You're closer to the situation. Guys like me, I live in Nashville. I'm on the outside. Fire Matt Nagy, but closer to the deal, what was being made of all that, the way that game was called, the way people were kind of criticizing, not utilizing Fields in the way he can be utilized?
Oh, it was the same thing. I mean, the cries for Matt Nagy's job were so loud. And the McCaskies have never fired any Bears head coach midseason ever. And this, everyone was on the edge of their seat that this could be the first time. What Matt Nagy didn't do with Justin Fields was such an indictment on him and his inability to change. What everyone was waiting for was they had 150 days from draft night to his first start, where they thought, okay, we couldn't wait to get our hands on a mobile quarterback who can do the things that we have been aching a quarterback in a Bears uniform to do. And then the game plan looked exactly the same as the one they ran with Mitch Trubisky, the same thing they tried with Nick Foles, the same thing they wanted to run with Andy Dalton. And you have a different quarterback here, and that is on Nagy. And then he kept it all a mystery about who's going to be calling the plays coming up. It was so starkly different against the Lions. Yes, I get it. Detroit. I'm going to quantify it with that because Detroit's not going anywhere. But at the same time, it was so different. Everybody's like, oh, can you guarantee that Nagy's not calling the plays? Yes. Watch the game. It's totally different. And the way that Justin looked and the way that Bill Lazor kind of orchestrated all of that was impressive. It overshadowed Nagy, which again made it bizarre afterwards when he tried to make it all about him. Well, it has to go through me. Sir, we watched you put together these game plans and control the offense the last couple of years, and it's not been good. So he has to be held responsible for that. And I think that those cries for his job are going to continue until he starts to make a little bit more sense at the podium.
Yeah, because you can make a decision as an ownership. You can make a decision based on anger, but you don't want to make those kind of decisions. But you also then say, but we drafted this kid, and this is the future. Right. And if you can't handle the development or the proper process, then we need to know that this investment is in good hands, and we don't know if it's in good hands.
Correct. That is the mystery. And George McCaskey says all the time, he's like, I walk through that parking lot. I am not going to make decisions based on the emotions of the fans that I see that are all over the, you know, he's like, I'm not going to make a decision that way. But you are correct. That is the issue. They drafted this kid and they felt like they put him in the hands of a quarterback groomer in Matt Nagy. And that isn't what's happened. What we've seen is a very confident kid, someone who is incredibly tough, incredibly smart, wants to be really good at this, and taking those strides with somebody else in his ear on game day. And that's where I think they have to kind of wait. It's still too early for them to make any sort of knee-jerk reaction at this point, but they have to be monitoring this incredibly closely because it is pressure on Matt Nagy, and I think that's what we're hearing when he steps to the microphone all the time.
Let's go to the preseason. Where were the Bears? This was a team that went 8-8 but got into the playoffs because there was an extra team. But when you're 8-8, you can tilt either way. Where was the preseason expectation as to what they were doing?
No one really thought. Well, I mean, inside they thought they had potential to be a playoff team. I think that's the other insistence why they weren't going to rush Justin Fields. There was no rush because they felt like he's the next 10 to 15 years. Andy Dalton is this season, and he can get us places that we want to go. And they are clinging. I know you talked about backing into the playoffs. They are clinging to this. We've made the playoffs two of the last 3 years, and both times they lost in that one game. So I don't. And last year I didn't feel like they didn't deserve to go. So preseason was kind of like, okay, let's see what we can do with a veteran quarterback. And even from the first training camp practice, you could see Andy Dalton was a decisive quarterback in a way that the Bears had not seen in several years. Like he knew what he was doing. He had veteran experience. It was evident. It was evident as soon as he stood out there and he thought, okay, let's see what they can do with Justin Fields and let him have his time, because Matt Nagy is going by his experience in Kansas City, and he thinks it's going to be the same as Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. And it isn't. It isn't. It's just not going to be the same, but that's his experience and that's what he knows. So he thought if Andy Dalton can win us some games and let Justin kind of sit in the shadows, well, then Dalton gets hurt and everything is topsy-turvy. And what we've seen from Nagy is his inability to adjust to that, right? Like, this was not part of his quote-unquote plan. And so now he's feeling rushed to it. So from preseason, we all thought, okay, let's see how far Andy Dalton can take them before it inevitably is Justin's job. And from what we heard from Bill Lazor early in the season was he said, I see someone who can handle this. And I think if it had been an open quarterback competition, Justin would have won the job. And so that's what everybody was like, okay, well, why are they not making that change? And again, I go back to this loyalty they have to Dalton that nobody else does.
With David Montgomery out, does that enhance his case? Does it hurt his case to get Fields more starts? How does that losing him affect the decision as who's going to be under center?
I think it has to in some capacity, because David Montgomery is the anchor of that offense, and losing him for a while is a long time. For a month plus is a big deal. Like that's definitely something. And then his backup, Damian Williams, is also dealing with an injury. So now you're looking at Khalil Herbert, their fifth round draft pick, potentially getting more carries. I think that could have something to do with it. And how they use, knowing that Justin's ability to run is a weapon that they can use when they need to, and Andy Dalton doesn't have that. So I would think they would name their starter today, hopefully, and cut off some of this drama and noise that they had over the last couple of weeks and move forward that way. I would think that Justin has the edge simply because of what he was able to accomplish last week and his ability to bridge that gap without David Montgomery. I would hope that that would make way in their decision making, but I don't know. I mean, Nagy's insisting Andy Dalton is our starter when healthy. As obnoxious as it is, that is going to be his tagline. So, we'll see what happens.
You touched on a little bit of it in terms of how Justin Fields is, like, just on a day-to-day basis, seeing him and hearing him and how he's handled all this. How, I mean, there's you're a rookie. A lot of things are coming at you. He's at the center of this national debate about the Bears. How does he take it all in?
He is. Everybody talks about he's so poised. Have we mentioned he's poised? I mean, that's what we hear all the time. But you see it. You actually see that calmness in him. When he's not afraid to answer questions. He's even after that absolute disaster in Cleveland, the way that he stood there and kind of like answered the questions, rolled with it, and didn't seem to miss a beat. And then the way he entered the next week of practice, it seemed to be with okay. I mean, it can't get worse than that. I'm going to move forward. And that's kind of how he's handled it all. He says he doesn't take in all this noise outside of it and all the questions. He's like, I'm here to learn and grow. And you see a maturity around him that we certainly didn't see with Mitch Trubisky. And you see that he can handle this. We saw that from Go, but you really hear it in his voice now that it's actually happening on the field too. And it's been impressive. But again, I go back to, this is a kid who played on incredibly big stages, had, you know, the good and the bad and kind of rode that roller coaster. And when they drafted Mitch, he was experiencing those things in the NFL. And Justin's done that at a different level. And now he's kind of growing into this moment. And he said from the beginning, I believe I was built for this. And I believe it too.
Awesome stuff. Deion, always great talking to you. I really appreciate it. Again, I hope to get you down the line as the season progresses.
Well, I have a feeling the Bears will be no shortage of news. So I am around if you need me.
Always good. Thank you so much, as always. Deion Miller, ABC
no
7
problem.
In Chicago on the Bears and a conversation about Justin Fields. Like we talked about, this quarterback. Look, the NFL is a national thing, right? Quarterback issues on Team A. Everybody in the country, there's a lot of different aspects as to why people 1,000 miles away would be interested, 500 miles away would be interested, in a city that's not even in the same conference would be interested. But yeah, you know, he's at the center of this story that it just gets all so much of attention because, as she mentioned at the start of that interview, it's just bizarre. It's so bizarre to see this go the way it's going and the sort of insistence by the head coach that in the end, when healthy, a quarterback nobody wants to play is going to play. It's really craziness. All right, Stoney D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Thanks to Deion Miller, ABC 7 in Chicago. That was fun. I like talking to her. She's not afraid to question the organization, that's for sure.
Nah, she's not afraid of not getting an interview request out of them.
No, not at all. Really, we're just ready to, what the hell is going on there?
But I have a feeling that's all of Chicago right now.
If
we're questioning what's going on there and we are far removed from it.
Right, exactly.
But if we have the feeling of like, why are you rolling with Andy Dalton? You know, Andy Dalton had his moment in the sun a couple of times and he couldn't hang. And it's his era is done with. He had a career. It's not going to be Hall of Fame worthy. It's not going to be, you know, something that we talk about years from now. But, you know, he's set for life. Why are we having this argument still?
Yeah, and it's to me, like, this is what I was asking her, right? Like, you teams do not fire coaches out of anger.
Yeah.
Right? They don't. They calm down. They go, we don't like the direction we're going. But they don't scream like, I'm firing the coach tomorrow. Like, you know, we kind of think they do, but that's not really how it goes. You sit with your team, you figure out the how, you know, are we making a rash decision here? How do we afford the contract? We're going to pay it out. Well, who's next in line? There's a thought process behind it. You know, it's like, remember, you know, if you've ever been let go from a job, even fired from a job for doing something wrong, you rarely get yelled at, right? There's usually an HR person that goes, yeah, we're parting ways. This is not acceptable or whatever it is.
You're done.
You know, you're done. So coaches don't. You know, we go like we're like, fire him before he gets on the plane. Well, that really wasn't going to happen. But the reality is they have every right to say to him, you're not the right guy to handle what we're investing a lot of time and effort for. Like, we were in a position to get a franchise quarterback in the draft. Now, we did. We've done this before with Mitch Trubisky, and it didn't work out. We are not going down that road again. We need somebody that we know and trust that is going to take this kid who we think is going to be one of the best quarterbacks to ever wear a Bears uniform, and there aren't very many, and we need somebody in the – we don't think it's you.
No, and that's the problem that you're facing too, because, you know, the way it appears on national scale when we look at it is like, God, Bears, you haven't had a franchise quarterback since who, Sid Luckman?
Right.
And most people are you know, that we even say that name have to look up like, who's Sid Luckman?
Yeah, it's – you know, and that to me is, unless there is, he's getting permission from the upper management to support Andy Dalton, this is not making much sense.
No.
At all.
It doesn't. It just doesn't. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all.
All right. Den Days coming up next. That does make sense as we continue Sports Map Radio. We'll be back tomorrow with a Throwback Thursday. It's Wake Up Call. Tony D. Ron Call.